The Gospel reading from John chapter 10, beginning at the 22nd verse. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Although I grew up on a farm in the Midwest and know a little about caring for sheep, I still feel a bit challenged on this Good Shepherd Sunday to relate this imagery to our life today. Most of us are far removed from the practices of shepherding that was so common in biblical times. Even though Central Park in New York City has a sheep meadow, as far as I know, it has no sheep. And yet the Good Shepherd image is an enduring one that has often been expressed in art and music and in the liturgy of the church. We find it not only in the Psalms, especially, for example, in Psalm 23, and in the Gospel of John, from which we read, where Jesus refers to himself a number of times as the Good Shepherd. But throughout Scripture, God is imagined as our shepherd. The shepherd God led the nation of Israel like a flock throughout its history. He led the enslaved Hebrews like a flock out of Egypt and guided them through the wilderness into the promised land. David, the shepherd boy, became one of the great kings of Israel. Ezekiel the prophet contrasted God's faithful shepherding with some of the leaders of Israel who were like shepherds who didn't care what happened to the sheep. God promised, "I will seek the lost and bring back the strayed and bind up the injured and strengthen the weak." In the New Testament, Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep and then commissions his followers to care for his flock. Last Sunday, we read the passage later in John's Gospel, where Jesus says to Peter, "Tend my flock, feed my sheep." In today's church, when a minister is ordained or installed, there is included in the liturgy this exhortation from the first letter of Peter: "Be attentive to the flock given to you by the Holy Spirit. Love Christ, feed his lambs, tend his sheep." Sheep and shepherds are all over the Scriptures, and for some strange reason, this imagery continues to speak to us, even though in our urban setting there are no shepherds or sheep to be found. In our gospel reading today, there were some people in the temple who were questioning whether or not Jesus is the promised Messiah. This was an ongoing controversy because Jesus did not fit the description that many had of the Messiah, a mighty warrior, a mighty king who would drive out their enemies and reestablish the kingdom of Israel. But Jesus described himself as a shepherd. But who needs a shepherd if you want to defeat your enemies? And I can imagine that those who heard Jesus' words were often a bit offended when he likened them to dumb sheep that were just expected to follow along behind him. However, let's stick with this image for a moment, even though there aren't any sheep in the sheep meadow in Central Park. This is a main theme in the scriptures, and one of the main characteristics of the Good Shepherd is that a good shepherd cares for the sheep. As we heard in our lesson today, no one gets snatched when there is a good shepherd around caring for the sheep. No one gets lost and forgotten. Or to put this in a larger perspective, God could have left us human beings here on earth to fend for ourselves, like sheep without a shepherd. We probably would not have survived. But God came to earth to be our shepherd, to lead us to green pastures and still waters, to show us how to live. And he loved us in a most extraordinary way by laying down his life for us. The shepherd knows each of us by name. And no matter how far we stray, this shepherd finds us and brings us home. And what is our response to this good shepherd's love and care? Christ invites us to care for others as he cares for us, to do some of his shepherding. We heard about this kind of shepherding in our reading from the book of Acts today. Tabitha, her Aramaic name, or Dorcas, her Greek name, was called a disciple. As far as I know, the only woman in all of Scripture called a disciple. She is described as one devoted to good works and acts of charity. Her name, Tabitha, means gazelle, which perhaps matched her lifestyle of being lightning fast in helping the poor and ministering to those most vulnerable in her community. You can almost imagine seeing her in action, day after day, looking after others, bringing meals to the homebound, sewing garments for the needy, and visiting the sick. Thank God most every congregation that I know has a Tabitha or two. People have this passion for caring for others. But then Tabitha died after what appeared to be a rather brief illness. Her work was done. People were probably asking why in the world God would call her home, as we say, when she was doing such good work in the church. Why her, of all people? So they called Peter. The text doesn't say why they called him or what they expected him to do, perhaps not much more than to console them and to honor the good work that Tabitha had done in the church. Those who gathered at her wake passed around some of the garments she had sewn, the afghans and sweaters she knitted. Probably everyone weeping at her casket, had a story to tell about how Tabitha touched their lives. But here in the story, something very unusual happens. People died all the time in the early church, and being a disciple did not keep anyone from illness or death. The early church leaders proclaimed Jesus' resurrection, but they also preached funeral sermons. And so Peter could have just as well preached Tabitha's funeral sermon. But he decided to take some bolder action. He put everyone else out of the room while he knelt by the casket and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Just as Jesus had done several times. She opened her eyes, sat up, and Peter helped her get on her feet. I admit this is a strange story. Can you imagine anything like this happening? She became the talk of the town and beyond. But why was Tabitha, of all people, raised from the dead? She was not an eloquent preacher like Peter or Paul. She did not hold an important office in the church. As far as we know, she wasn't a big financial giver. Probably just a poor widow. What she did was take care of people. And as we read scripture, we know that God has a special compassion for the least, the lost, and the lonely. And so equally near to God's heart, it seems, are those who make it their special ministry in the church to reach out to others as Tabitha did. She made clothing for the poor and prepared meals for the hungry and listened to the heartbreaks and the joys of the people in Joppa. Jesus had often identified himself with the least of these, to the point that he told his disciples, according to Matthew 25, that a kind word to the lonely, a visit to the sick, a garment for the naked, a meal for the hungry, was in every instance a service done for him. As you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. So when we ask, why was Tabitha singled out to be raised from the dead? Perhaps it was because those who minister to the ones who God so dearly loves, the poor, the weak, the widowed, the vulnerable, are also dear to God's heart. And he wants their holy work to continue. And so Tabitha was raised up. Now, as far as we know, Tabitha's resurrection wasn't permanent. Eventually, Tabitha died and was buried in the usual way like everyone else. But I'm wondering whether this amazing, singular event happened as a sign to the church that after Easter, a lot of strange new things would be possible. Perhaps the church needed some dramatic sign or demonstration that the resurrection was something that not only happened to Jesus after he was crucified and buried, but that the power of the resurrection continues in the church as God overcomes evil and defeats death in the lives of those who belong to him and who serve him. The world after Easter is not like the world before Easter. There is a renewed power for good that has been let loose in the world. There is a power greater than death. And here we see it in this little congregation in Joppa and in the work of Tabitha, who couldn't be stopped by death. Now, of course, the church could have continued without Tabitha, and the day finally came when it did continue without her, when she died again, and as far as we know, was not brought back to life. But for this moment, she was raised up to show everyone the life-giving power of Christ in the life and work of the church. John Masefield wrote a book years ago entitled The Trial of Jesus, based on the story of the centurion in command of the soldiers at the crucifixion of Jesus. Some of the Gospels briefly mention this centurion in their passion story. The centurion looked up at Jesus on the cross and said, "Truly, this man is the Son of God." In Masefield's novel, the centurion returned from Calvary with his troops to report to Pontius Pilate the day's events, including the crucifixion and death of Jesus. When he was finished, the wife of Pontius Pilate, who overheard his report, begs to hear more. "Do you think he's really dead now?" she asks. "Is he really dead and gone?" The centurion replies, "No, ma'am." "Then where is he?" she asks. The centurion replies, "He's let loose in the world where neither Roman nor Jew will ever stop his truth." And so we trust that the work of the church today will go on because God's truth is loose and God's power over evil and death continues to give us hope and strength. Yes, we will continue to experience sickness and suffer from the evils of the world. There will be setbacks and disappointments. There will be death and sorrow. Yes, and school shootings and marathon bombings and other tragedies that injure and take lives. But we have hope. Christ is risen. Christ is the Good Shepherd. He cares for us. And let us remember to be Christians who care, like Tabitha, who was a sign of the resurrection and the life in the Joppa church. And is it any wonder that death could lay no more claim on her than it could on Jesus? Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.